I want to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. Happy Mother's Day to each one of you mothers. Dr. Dobson says, I have the highest respect and admiration for those who are blessed to be called mothers. There are few assignments in human experience that require the array of skills and wisdom needed by a mom in fulfilling her everyday duties. I want this message this morning to be real simple. I want it to be understandable to each one of us. I've titled my message this morning, A Godly Mother. And as we were praying this morning, I was just thinking, you know, Satan really doesn't like messages like this. So I ask that you would pray this morning that Satan is defeated, that Jesus can be seen this morning through His Word. Motherhood, it's not an easy task. I'm going to paint a little bit of a negative picture this morning on motherhood for a bit here. You get to get up early in the morning. You don't have a whole lot of time for yourselves. The baby starts crying during the night already. You're up feeding the baby. Sleep isn't that great. You get to get up in the morning and take care of the rest of the family too. I'm challenging each one of you men. We don't have the strength that our mothers do in that. God didn't create us for that. He created the mothers to be there, to snuggle their babies, to stay up at night. And men, yeah, you can help with this too. You can get up and feed the baby too if the baby's on a bottle. But it's difficult. It's hard for mothers. It's a difficult thing. But it is something that has been ordained of God. And I want you to take that this morning. If you miss everything else this morning, I want you to remember that motherhood is ordained of God. It's not something to take lightly. To those that are mothers this morning, may I bless you. And may God bless you. Continue your walk with Him. Being a mother takes strength. Something that I don't have to be a mother. I haven't been created that way. But in our country today, we're trying to take two men and put them into the same household and call one of them a mother. That's sad. We're taking two sisters, or not sisters, two women, and we're putting them in a household expecting one of them to be the dad and one to be the mother. God didn't create us that way. He created male and female. This message this morning is not just for you who are mothers who have children. This message is for each one of you sisters here this morning. Whether you're young, you're not dating yet, whether you're a single lady, or whether you are a mother with children, this message is for all of you. Dads, we think we're going to get out of it this morning. It's going to be part of this message for us too. We think about our mothers and we think about the childhood memories that we have. Good memories, bad memories. I was blessed to have my mother, or still have my mother today. We thought she was going to be gone before Christmas. But God allowed her to be here. We just came back from Texas not too long ago. And I got to sit with my mom and talk to her. Yesterday I got to call her and tell her I love her. I didn't think I'd have that opportunity. But I still do. And if your mother is here this morning, if she's somewhere where you can call her, take that opportunity today. If you haven't given your mother a hug this morning and she's here with us, please do so today. Tell her you love her. Sometime you won't have the opportunity. Bless your mother. My mother had a difficult life. She was a godly example to us children. She had 11 children. 4 of them died. The rest of them were no believers for a long time. My mother was always thankful. I can still remember talking to her, and I shared this with you before. how that she was counting her blessings one day. I asked her, what are you doing? She said, I'm counting my blessings. She's still a thankful person. She spends most of her time in bed. But she's still smiling. She's still thankful. I'm not tied up in bed. I can still get around. How thankful am I? I'd like for us this morning to turn to Luke chapter 1. We're getting a bit of a late start here, and I'll try not to make it too late. I know some of us have lunch plans. We want to look this morning for a bit at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and take some examples from her. We're going to read from verse 26 through 38. If you want to follow along in this, Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 26 talks about the sixth month. Let's just get a little bit of a setting. This was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. This is where the angel came to Mary. Young girls, I want you to think about this a bit. Mary was probably between 12 and 15 years old. She was young. She was poor. From what we understand, she was not from a wealthy family. She was very poor. An angel shows up and talks to her and tells her she's going to have a baby. At this point, she was engaged to be married. And showing up pregnant was reason to be killed. Let's look at verse 27. Talks there to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. It mentions there that she was a virgin. She was young. She was discreet. She was chaste. She was moral. And if there's ever a day that we need to know about this, it's now. It's important, young ladies, that we are chaste, that we are moral. If you were to ask the marriage counselors today why there's so much doubt and distrust in marriages, it's because of this. It's important that we are chaste. She was to be married to a young man named Joseph. Again, Joseph looks like he was probably a poor man. We don't see him as something real, a guy that was really somebody to be looked up to from what we understand in Scripture, but yet he had a trade. He could afford to have her. He could take care of her. Verse 28 says, Hail, thou that art highly favored. How can I be a mother and feel like I am highly favored by God? I've got messy diapers to clean up. I've got patches of puke to clean up from time to time. There's a lot that happens in a mother's life. How can I be highly favored? How can I be honored It seems the sisters don't have enough time, do they, when it comes to taking care of the children? How do I work in Bible study? How do I work in prayer? I've heard this from different sisters. It's just hard. It's difficult to find a spot in my day where I can really seek God's face. I'm not giving you an easy out here this morning, but I want to ask you a little bit, what do you think God thinks of your heart? God sees into your heart. Is your heart in tune with God? As you take care of your babies, as you take care of your children, does God know that you're in tune with Him, that you're listening? Maybe there's time for you to be singing. The children hear this. I want you to think about that for a minute. That's an awesome testimony to your children. You're singing. You're being joyful. Maybe you need to take a sticky note and write a verse on it and stick it somewhere where you see it a lot. I'm not sure what to tell you, sisters, how to make that connection, to be honest with you, because times are busy. But I'm going to bring this back to us as men. I guess this was a challenge to me. Where are we as men with our wives? And I'm not trying to come down hard on you, but something for us to think about. When I come home from work in the evening, I'm tired. I worked all day. I worked hard. I'm bringing in the bread and butter. I deserve to sit in my recliner and put my feet up. That's what I think. Mom was up before daylight. She was taking care of the kids. She had to homeschool during the day. She was busy all day. I come home and her hair aren't even combed. Where's she been all day? Think about this, man. You come home and it's so easy just to kick back. What would happen if us dads would start stepping in a little bit more, and I know some of you do. If we would step in just a little bit more, we'd come home and we'd ask our wife, is there something I can do? Is there something I can do to help you? Maybe we see she's just a bit stressed. Honey, I'll take care of the kids. Why don't you get some me time? Why don't you go to the bedroom, go outside, take a walk, reconnect? Maybe this is what she needs, for dads to step in and to help out. But I have my hobbies. I have things I need to do too. I love to work outside. I love to trim the trees. I love to plant stuff. I even love to play in the shop with wood a little bit. I'm not good at it yet, but I'm working on it. Am I willing to lay that aside for the sake of my wife and family? What if it takes me 5 years of not doing my hobby? Those are important years. Those are important years when the kids are growing up. Maybe I can lay aside that hobby, and maybe God will allow me to pick it up at another time. But for now, it's very important that I make a spot for my wife as a mother. What about maybe you could bring home supper? We have cell phones. We got easy communication. What if you call your wife and tell her, you know, hon, I know you had a difficult day. Tonight I'm bringing home pizza. Forget about supper. I'll take care of that this evening. Children, and by the way, children, I forgot to mention, you got these papers this morning with a verse on it. That is to be a Mother's Day card. You can write something on the inside of that paper as a card to your mother today. Back to the children. Maybe your children are so young they really can't help a whole lot in the house. Dads, maybe you could organize a little workforce. When you come home, maybe you could tell them, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. There's a lot that can be done when little hands work. My wife's been going for a couple of days. Home isn't the same without mother. Yesterday morning, three of them were to clean the house. It doesn't take long when everybody pitches in and does their part. Dad, set up a workforce if you need to. Give mom a break. Children that are older, children that are able to cook, does mom need to tell you to take care of things? How about you stepping in and doing a little bit of cooking for mom or doing the cleaning? I know these are all just very basic things. We're not going to Scripture a whole lot this morning on this section here. We'll come to Scripture here in a little bit. But there's many things that you can do as young children, as youth, to bless your mother, to make things easier for your mother. Motherhood is very rewarding, but it is difficult. It's a very high calling that requires much without receiving. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed." Moms, don't give up. Maybe the children aren't going to bless you when they're young. You're making them do their homework. You're making them stick with their lessons. And you might have to push a little bit to get that done. But as they grow up, they will bless you. They will call you blessed. And her husband also, he praiseth her. I guess this spoke to me. How much do I praise my wife? How much do I bless her? I'm thrilled to death with the wife that I have. I'm delighted to be married to her. Do I tell her that? Do I bless her? Do I tell her she's doing a wonderful job? Men, we can tear down our relationship if we want to. It's easy to do. Giving, I'll call it destructive criticism. Not blessing our wife. Having an unthankful heart. Let's bless our wives. Let's bless those that are mothering our children. If you say your wife isn't a blessing in your home, I'm going to challenge us as men again. The problem's at your doorstep. Stand up and be men. I'm finding that if a man is willing to lead, if he's willing to get his hands dirty, normally his wife is willing to follow. A challenge to each one of us. Mothers, I got a few verses here to give to you. The first one is 1 Peter 5:7. It says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You do have cares. You've got anxieties. You long for that quiet moment where you can just be by yourself. Where you can look into the Scripture. Maybe just where you can think. Cast your care on the Lord. This too shall pass. Vaughn and I were just talking this morning about the times in our life. I remember those days when we had babies that were sick. I'm not going to say which ones that were grumpy. But we had difficult times too. That time has passed. Now we've got two teenagers. We've got two of them that are looking to be teenagers soon. Times change. Motherhood changes. Take those times while you have them and cherish them. Remember them. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Give your cares to the Lord. Every issue that are facing, give it to God. Allow him to lift your burdens. Trust him that whatever happens is because of his timing, because of the way he wants it. Psalm 37, verse 3, 4, and 5, we want to look at for just a second here. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." I guess I had to think of Elijah and the widow. I'm going to have you turn to 1 Kings 17. I had to think of Elijah and the widow, and I thought, you know what, this verse explains very clearly what happened there. 1 Kings 17, we'll start in verse 8. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, to Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. God told them to go to this city. They were in a famine. Elijah gets there, and sure enough, here's this widow God had talked about. She's out there picking up a couple of sticks. So he calls to her. He says, "Get me a little bit of water. I'm thirsty. Would you get a pitcher and bring me some water?" So she goes. Verse 11 says, "And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.'" I'm not sure what this lady was thinking at this point. Actually, we can see here in the next couple of verses what she was thinking. This man comes and he's asking water of me. That I can get him. We are in a famine, but there's still water. Now he's asking for a cake. Why was this so difficult? For verse 12. "And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die.'" This was a poor widow. She had a tiny bit of flour, she had a little bit of oil, enough to make a little cake for she and her son. That's all they had. Then they were going to die. Maybe we think she's going to the extreme here, but she had nothing. Then Elijah says, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth the rain upon the earth." If I'd have been this widow woman, I think I'd have questioned. Why are you asking me to get something for you to eat when me and my son have enough to eat for one meal and then we're done? But she obeyed. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's go back to this verse 37 again. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land." Dwell in the land here means to be supplied for. She trusted the Lord through Elijah. God provided. Mothers, it's difficult sometimes to trust, but it's important that we trust. Give everything to the Lord. Verse 4 in Psalm 37 there says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I'm learning anew what that means. I have never really come to terms with understanding that God is going to give me the desires of my heart. It's a promise. It's here. If we delight in him, what we ask of him, he's going to give us. If we are in tune with him, we're going to know what to ask for. We will not ask amiss. If we ask amiss just to satisfy ourselves, God will not hear us. But he does tell us, if we delight in him, if we're joyful in him, he will bless us with the desires of our heart. Verse 5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." So we have your trust. We have delight and commit. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Mothering is difficult, but walking uprightly in the Lord is a blessing that's too good to miss. Walk faithfully with the Lord. I'm going to go on down to verse 34 then of our text here. Sorry, I've been doing some hopping around here. But verse 34 then, "Then said Mary unto the angel, 'How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?'" Mary had questions. Mary wasn't doubting, but she had questions. Sometimes I think we feel like maybe we can't question the Lord. We can't ask him, "Why, Lord?" I think there's a point where we need to ask him, "Why, Lord?" Mary wasn't disobedient here. She was in no way doubting, but she wanted to understand what's going on here. And I think the Lord blessed her in that. The angel answered her. It's okay to be persistent in our prayers. If we don't understand, we come to God and we ask Him why in the right attitude. And we are persistent. God will answer. He's not some God that's so far out we can't relate to Him, but He's right here with us. We can relate to Him. He wants to hear us. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Being fervent in prayer, He will uphold you. He will sustain you. I'm going to come to Titus 2, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read that verse. It says, "The aged women likewise..." Older sisters, I guess this is for you this morning. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Those of you who are older ladies here this morning, there are mothers that are looking up to you. They need to hear from you. But there's something that you need to do. Your behavior needs to be holy. Behavior as becometh holiness. Exemplifying godliness. You are to mirror the image of Christ. You are to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. The example that you are giving, is it something you would like to see in the younger women? Those of you who are mothers, those of you who are younger ladies, yeah, it's difficult sometimes to listen. But I believe it's important that you're willing to listen. I'm not saying you have to do everything that a sister tells you. But it's important that we listen, that we hear out those that are older that have had experience. Verse 5 says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's important. It's very important that the word of God be not blasphemed. Older sisters, you're not to sit by idly and watch the younger women struggle. Help where you can. Maybe you need to babysit so mom can get out from time to time. Pray. Something that each one of us can do is pray. And when you share with the younger sisters, don't criticize with negative criticism. Bless them with positive criticism if you want to criticize. Lift the mother up. Don't tear down a mother. She's got plenty of stress the way it is. But bless the mothers. Then I want to go to verse 38. In our text here it says, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary made a choice. She chose to be used of God. Where am I at this morning as a mother? Am I allowing God to direct my mothering? It's easy to go the right direction or to go our own direction from time to time. But if we choose to submit to God and we allow Him to direct our mothering, there is much peace in that. There's lots of joy in that. I want to look at four lies that Satan wants you as sisters to believe. And I'm not talking just to mothers, but I'm talking from young sisters to older sisters. And we're going to try to hurry through this. It's already time to close this morning. But four lies that Satan would like for you to believe. The first one is that my husband is not the best for me. If you're married to him, he is the best for you. Maybe there's a point where we have to work on submission. Dads, husbands. Again, maybe it comes back to our doorstep. What kind of a dad, what kind of a husband are we? Are we leading in the home? Are we loving our wives, our children? Are we coming home after work? Are we going elsewhere when we should be at home? And I want to be careful on this next one, that I don't go into an area here that I shouldn't go. But number two, virginity is before marriage is not important. Yes, it is. It's very important. Mary was chaste. She was a godly young lady. Dads, mothers, let's teach our children that this is very important. Number three, I'm not blessed like other mothers. Now we're comparing. Each one of us has many, many blessings. If we're willing to sit and count our blessings, it'll take a long time. We have many blessings. Maybe I'm not blessed as much as others, I don't think, because I haven't allowed myself to be used of God like He wants me to be. We are blessed. Satan wants you to believe that other mothers have it so much better than you. Put your heart into mothering with all of your strength. Give it everything you got. You are blessed by God. The last one here is, my husband is the leader in the home, so I don't need a spiritual connection. Yes, sisters, you need a spiritual connection. As you can, dig in the Word. I know I was talking earlier about being so busy. Dads, are we giving her time that she can get into the Word? When you have opportunity, pray. You can pray while you're working. God hears you there too. The more you give yourself to Christ, the deeper you grow in your relationship with Jesus. You will find the rewards of mothering out of this world. Yes, your husband is a leader, but he cannot take your place of your relationship with your father. Mothering is extremely important. It is a God-given, God-blessed, I don't want to call it an occupation, but it is a blessing that us dads can't receive. We aren't mothers. So just a challenge to each one of you as mothers, as young girls, as single ladies. God blesses motherhood. You're sharing with those from Kids Club. You're sharing with your nieces, your nephews. God blesses that. He loves it. Children are important to Him. And I also think He has a soft spot for mothers. So I want to bless you this morning. Wish you each a happy Mother's Day. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Lord, this morning I want to thank You for each mother that's here this morning. I just ask Your blessing on each one, Father. I pray that You would touch their lives today. When the times get rough, Lord, whether we're young, whether we're old, I pray that You would give them the grace, the strength, Lord, to give everything to You. To hold on to You, Lord, know that You're going to lead them through. Lord, I pray for us as husbands, that we would do our part in making so things are easier for our wives, for mothers. You have blessed us so much, Father. We ask that You would bless the food that has been prepared. Thank You again for providing for us. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.